Now, let's turn to culture, identity and memory.
Now, as the world marks the UNESCO World Day for Cultural Diversity, for Dialogue and Development, at a special event titled Sheltering Songs, Culture Heritage Archives, will take place right here in Juba at the Nyakron Cultural Center.
That's right. Now, the event explores how songs carry memory, identity and community knowledge across generations. And to unpack this, we are joined by Professor Daniel, Acting Director General for Culture and the Minister of Culture, Museum and National Heritage. We have Rebecca Lorenz, co-founder of Likikiri Collective, and Beku Thomas, Culture Officer with UNESCO. Good morning, and thank you so much for making our time to speak to us today.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much for engaging us on this special day.
Right.
Yes. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Rebecca. Yeah. Let's start with you, Rebecca. The title, Sheltering Songs, is very powerful. So what does it mean to shelter songs, and why is this idea so important in South Sudan today?
Thank you so much for that question. This event is actually growing out of a much larger project that maybe we'll get to talk about in a couple of minutes.
Right.
But the project is with 20 young women and 20 elders in refugee camps in Uganda and Kenya from four communities, and they documented the songs of their elders. And we called it Sheltering Songs because we are sheltering songs through archiving and documentation. And in turn, songs shelter us.
Right.
And actually, that idea came from some of the women's songs themselves. They sang about, one of the Kakwa women sang about a tent, how it shelters clans, and that was a sort of metaphor for a song, as
right.
well as another woman sang about Nyangwar, which was a song, a naming song for her daughter, and it referred to the shelter in which she gave birth.
Mm.
And she named it that to have that memory of the hard times that they went through together.
Right. And Professor, just to bring in this bit, how does the ministry view events like this in terms of national development?
This is the mission of the Ministry of Culture, Museum and National Heritage. They are here. They are there promoting, developing an awareness raising for the nation so that the people come together through culture.
Mm.
They did the theme, and also they partner with this UNESCO by ratifying the three conventions. One of them is 2005 convention reflecting this day. Thank you.
Right. So just still with you, Professor. So what role should cultural heritage play in shaping South Sudan's identity, especially among the young people?
The role is very clear. The role is this day will bring people together, will promote peace, will promote harmony, will promote awareness, coming together through culture. And now we realize that the only forum which will bring the people of South Sudan together is culture.
Mm. Well, let me bring in Beku from UNESCO. Beku, from UNESCO's perspective.
Just a minute, Juma. Yes, Rebecca seems like she wants to jump in.
Oh, okay, Rebecca.
Well, I just, this idea of what role culture should play, especially for the young people,
yeah.
it's really important to this project and to actually the event. Sheltering Songs, it's presenting the songs that have been documented that were sung by elders and documented by young women. But there's a part of the program called Activated Archives.
Right.
And that is where contemporary artists, we have four musicians coming to the event, maybe we'll talk about that later, but they are activating the archive by reinterpreting these songs. So I think culture has
into languages that the young people can decode.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So I do think culture plays a really important role, but it is contested. You know, it's so diversity for me, cultural diversity is not just among the different ethnicities that exist or different backgrounds, but also different ages, different generations,
right.
and different also modernity and tradition coming together. So diversity can be seen in many different ways,
right.
and I think that culture is such is so important as a place where people negotiate that.
Thank you.
All right, now let's bring in Beku. Beku, from UNESCO's perspective, this event is tied to the theme "Culture Connects Us All." Why is cultural diversity such an important focus globally?
Thank you very much for this opportunity. And just before getting into that, I wanted to add on to what Deng and Rebecca mentioned.
Mm.
Yeah, diversity is very key, but also diversity we can see in terms of content, in terms of distribution
right.
and dissemination. Because if diversity is just limited to maybe specific and few individuals or few let's say, collection, I think that does not give for us that kind of diversity that we are looking up to. And therefore, it is important that as we talk about diversity, it should be cross-cutting all sector of life, so that everyone feel part and inclusive in this case. So coming to the day today, I just wanted to take us a bit back. It was in 2001 that UNESCO adopted the Universal Declaration on Cultural Diversity. And by the year 2002, in the UN General Assembly, in its resolution 57249, declared 21st May to be the World Day of Cultural Diversity and Development. So this date is ideally affirming culture's contribution to sustainable development and acknowledging the natural and the cultural diversity of the world, further recognizing that cultures and civilization can contribute to the crucial enablers of sustainable development. So for UNESCO, this is very key, and especially with the team that it is real, that it connects us all, is that it encourages us to look at that component of inclusivity and also to understand our own culture, because our culture has to go beyond our own limit. So that everyone is part, diversity is all about seeing that we are connected. We are connected by our dances, we are connected by our values, we are connected by our nationality, and all about it is connecting us by our identification. That's all about the identity. So it is very important that UNESCO wanted to see, because at least most of the conflict in the world is closely related due to low intercultural dialogue. So I think it is important that we strengthen this component of intercultural dialogue among cultures, among society, that we definitely, as Deng mentioned, using culture as an entry point to peace, social cohesion, and living together.
All right. And I want to bring in Rebecca. Rebecca, walk us through what people can expect if they attend this event at Nyakron Cultural Center.
Okay, thank you so much. We're very excited that the day has come and that we're having this event today. And it starts at, actually, registration and arrivals at 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. 1 p.m. There'll be cultural dances. Actually, Malé will be there, founded and led by Deng Niao. Mm-hmm. There'll also be cultural dances from Nian Cheet Arielbek, and as well as Avokaya Traditional Dance Group and Kakwa. So there'll be dances then. Between 2 and possibly 3, there's community panels. And we've invited representatives from the 4 groups that we documented songs from, and that is Kakwa, Avokaya, Dinka from different backgrounds, and Nuer from different backgrounds. And there'll be 2 community panels of 2 people each who are going to reflect on one song from our archive and what it shows them or what it tells them or what they see in it, what... You know, these are songs that were sung by refugee women from their memories. And now this is now today here in Juba. So it's very exciting. We're bringing it across borders. We're bringing it in a sense. We're talking about bringing the archive home. And we're seeing what the participants, what the panelists and the audience think of these songs. Then the second part of the program, we're going to be activating the archive. And that's what I was mentioning before. You're going to have musicians such as Franco Lukayumi. You're going to have Jaiksana Soro. You're going to have Kimi Ten. And you're going to have Ali Joma Mabil. They're all going to perform a song that was selected from our archive and then was reinterpreted and revived in a new style for a new generation. So it's going to be really exciting. There'll be discussion, there'll be performance, and celebration.
I'm also seeing there will be film screening, isn't it?
Yes, actually. And so there also be, we'll be showing a very short film, 2 minutes, from about our project. And then we're going to also be showing a podcast trailer, because the project released a podcast about the songs and the project. And then there's also going to be music video launching. So that's very exciting. The music videos that these 4 musicians created will be in a promo for the music videos.
Oh, interesting indeed. Let me bring in Professor. Professor, there is often concern that cultural heritage can be lost over time. What practical steps is the ministry taking to preserve traditions, languages, or oral histories?
Yes, the whole world is worried, and not only South Sudan, even in Europe, even in Italy, that the globalization, that this kind of people who are producing a lot of materials, and then some people become only consumers instead of producers. Mm-hmm. So the Minister of Culture has a policy called National Culture Policy, and also Minister of Culture also working with UNESCO of these three conventions. One of them is the 2003 convention, which is about intangible cultural heritage, where the song, the music, the dance, the folklore, the traditional way of, even cooking way of the system also is part of it. But as one of the convention, or the 1972 convention, which is dealing with a heritage site, like now we have the site in process, like Bumaba Dingolo, Dame Zeberi in Wau, Slebrood, and even Sutwetland. And there are all the policies there also. We will protect the musician, which are in process now with the Minister of Legal Affairs, like issue
Minister
of...
Minister of Justice.
Justice, yeah. Mm. The copyright issues and other laws. And also people also are working on heritage legislation, because you wanted to protect the heritage, not only the thing. And Minister is aware, but always Minister is calling for funding, which is one of the challenges for the Minister of Culture. And we from time to time, we said that the heart of the nation is culture, and culture is everywhere in each ministry, whether you are in agriculture, whether you are in defense, wherever you are, the culture is already there. Mm. So policies are on the way, and our minister recently went to Nairobi. She attended one of the important gathering, bringing East African community together.
What was the key takeaway?
It's about the restitution of the material culture which have been there, taken by the British long time ago, the different museums. So that also our museum is working very hard.
All right. I want to bring in Beku from UNESCO. Beku, you have supported UNESCO. I've supported, of course, several cultural activities and programs. What makes this event stand out compared to other cultural celebrations?
Thank you very much. UNESCO will continue to accompany South Sudan in its sort of to achieve its own goal, especially to ensure that culture really is viable in the country. So this event today is very key in a way that it brings out commitment, that also it brings out that the creativity and the talent that we see with the young people, especially the artists, and also those who are still coming up into this process. So we wanted to see that this event give them that motivation, that this is key to them to be able to showcase their talent, to be able to showcase their creativity, especially within the cultural and creative sector. Majority of those involved are the young people, mostly those from 30 below, or maybe less than below 40. Majority of them are young people, and this gives them a lot of opportunity. And most especially in this sector, women are also involved. So this sector generally employs over 48 million young people in this. So with this, I think it gives them that appetite, give that them that motivation, that there are voices that listens to them. There are voices that looks forward to promote their talent. Also,
right.
So that also they see that it creates awareness among the public that it is not just what they do remain behind, but it has to be showcased to the people to be able to see.
I want to bring in Professor. Professor, you are also the Executive Director of Mali Foundation for Heritage, Peace and Development Studies. You're a musician yourself and a cultural creative. How do songs help preserve language and identity, especially when communities are displaced?
Yes, and that is what also Dr. Rebecca and Kolekaka Lekikiri Collective did. Because people could go with culture. Wherever they go with culture. So documenting the refugees from not only in Kenya, even in Ethiopia, in Sudan, because these are the memory, what you call collective memories. So for this, the music, the song, are very vital for culture themselves. So that the more we document it, because now also this encourage also is a call for the other organization to engage themselves in collective this song, because they are very vital. They are carrying the language, they are carrying the stories. Even I was hearing one of the songs about promoting the cattle, the role of cattle, in which I said that, yes, it's just our cattle here in South Sudan for cattle keepers, just like American dollar with Americans. Mm. So because this is our economy. And even not only the cattle, even the fish, what we produce from the river, from the forest, agriculture, these things are very vital.
Mm.
And they're thrown with our environment.
Right.
Therefore, they are very vital.
Let me bring it now. Rebecca, Lekikiri has documented more than 400 songs across four South Sudanese communities, including in refugee settings. What motivated this initiative, and what did you discover along the way?
Well, this initiative is inspired, I think, just by Lekikiri Collective's mission. I mean, we've been doing this work for many, many years. I mean, I know, actually, these are my colleagues to my right. And we've been doing this even before the independence of South Sudan. We were working in Khartoum. I myself did a dissertation about Kwoto, a South Sudanese theater group, but also my co-founder has been working in culture. So I think, like, we've been very interested in culture, cultural heritage, and the role of cultural heritage in development for a very long time. Lekikiri also has a specialization in oral history, oral history methods, and taking interviews. And so I think that led to an interest in documentation, as Dang Niall just mentioned. And we just think it's extremely important as a nation that became independent in 2011. It's really, there's a lot of conversations going on, a lot of energy around in communities around, you know, what makes us South Sudan, what makes South Sudan, or what makes South Sudanese.
Mm.
So I think looking back at history, and there are initiatives out there that are doing this. I wanted to say that I see our initiative as contributing to. There are community initiatives right now that are self-generated.
And what is the long-term vision of Lekikiri's work on cultural archives?
Actually, that's a really good question, because as part of this project, the British Council, they funded it, and as part of it, we're archiving the songs with the British Library Sound Archive. However, our long-term plan is to archive this group of songs in the National Archives in South Sudan, as well as community archives, maybe even in Yei. I mean, we're in talks with our partners about how best to preserve this material, because as Dang Niall just mentioned about the restitution of cultural material, we're very aware that we don't want the songs only to be sitting in the British Library. We want them to be accessible to the public. And so these songs, I want to emphasize, are not, you know, the product of Lekikiri alone, or not the product of the British Library, but are supposed to be part of the collective history of South Sudan. So our ambition is great. Our ambition is big about cultural archives. We want to be part of the development of these archives and of cultural institutions. So thank you.
All right. And Beku, how can young South Sudanese engage more in culture and heritage preservation? Let's just make it in 60 seconds because of time.
Good. Thank you very much. Young people are very key in safeguarding their culture because they are the generations. Mm. We have issues with the young people that if they are not involved from the very beginning, I think the future of our culture is not clean. In this case, I think we need to engage them in most of our activities, let us say in safeguarding measures of whatever, that we, let's say in dances, in composing songs, in also teaching them the language of their own, because language is a vehicle to safeguarding all these intangible cultural elements.
Right.
Without culture, I think it is needed. This will also be involved in recording. Their issues are recorded through their songs and also documented.
Right.
Thank you.
Becky Thomas, Rebecca Lorenz, and Professor Daniel, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Right. And please come to our event.
Yes.
Today,
for sure.
Nyakoron Cultural Center.
Okay, Nyakoron Cultural Center.
1 p.m.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah. Please make your way to Nyakoron Cultural Center.
I'm happy everybody is a musician in South Sudan.
Okay.
From the top leader to the last person. Because in our culture, everybody can compose songs.
Right, and we all think through rhythm. Right. Thank you so much. We do appreciate your time. And Professor Deng Nyal is the Acting Director General for Culture at the Ministry of Culture, Museum and National Heritage. Rebecca Lawrence, co-founder of Likikiri Collection, Collective, and Becky Thomas is the Culture Officer of UNESCO. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Miraya Breakfast Show. And that leaves us with only 2 minutes. And with that, we come to conclude the Miraya Breakfast Show this Thursday morning. We do appreciate your time.